Y'all, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win. Let's Chumba.
Yeah. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Oh, it's therapy time. It's time to release. Get something off your chest. Someone or something has made you mad. You know what? That makes me mad. 737-1025. 615-737-1025. I do that because Chase does that every time.
I know.
You know what? That makes me mad.
Shaking my head. It shakes.
It's droopy, man.
I know.
He used to always crack me up when he did that. What just happened?
Willie just put a bug on the list.
There was a gnat.
We are
flying around my neighborhood.
We are indoors in a studio. Why are you swatting flies away?
It was a gnat.
Well, all glad right. You took care of it.
Sorry.
We have got a pair of
tickets. I don't know if I hit it. It might still be around. I may have missed.
We'll find out.
Yeah, we will. Get a pair of tickets to see Ball Beat
today
with special guest Clutch and the picture book set Municipal Auditorium. That'll be on April 13th. That's what's at stake. 615-737-1025. What is on your list or who is on your list? Who's made you mad this week? Let's find out. Can we just start with
a catch-all? This is an annual one just to get it started here.
Sure, go ahead.
In general, this is... But everybody who has not taken down the Christmas wreath or the holiday lights from the neighborhood, I mean, we're now going on a month.
We're close to
you're on the list. Yeah. Come on.
Is that happening? Have you seen it?
On my street, there are plenty of examples.
What are they waiting for exactly?
I don't know. But come on, man. Let's go.
I love, look.
Even if you're not like, they might even be flipping on the lights, but the lights are still up there.
We did it last weekend, but now it's like.
You did?
Last weekend we took everything.
You're borderline. That's borderline.
Well, I'm saying everything. Like, we kind of did it piecemeal.
Did it in
some
stages?
Like, everything went away last weekend.
Okay.
This past weekend, which would have been, what was that? So tomorrow will be the 25th. So, I mean, that's the middle of the month. That's a long time.
January
15th? That's not.
That was a Curb Your Enthusiasm moment from the season opener of when you say Happy New Year to somebody. What's the last date in January before it's too late, as Larry David says?
I think the middle of January is it's time.
They were at a party and people would say Happy New Year, and he'd say you're too late.
I just watched that episode.
It's pretty good.
Okay.
And he's mad at Mocha Joe's. That's the one I was watching. It's like, Happy New Year! Happy New Year to you!
It's good.
And then he storms out.
It's good. It's a good show.
He is.
It's funny.
I've been doing, and I need to watch some Curb Your Enthusiasm, but I have been watching Seinfeld for the first time in a long time.
It holds up.
On what?
On Hulu.
Okay.
They got all the seasons on Hulu, and I was talking to a buddy. And I made some reference to Seinfeld. I'm like, you know, I haven't watched that show in a long time. I think I'm going to go back and watch it. So that's what I've been doing between, you know, sports and traveling. And I'm a Star Trek nerd, so the Picard show came out yesterday, so I had to watch that. But, you know, just kind of working in some comedy.
I think what cracks me up about Larry David is he's always got one just stupid thing that irks him. And that's the whole driving force of the episode.
He's George Costanza.
Yeah. Like the one
it's
that
just
I was watching.
It's a more crass version of it was Seinfeld, is all it is.
This is what we've all experienced, right? We go to a restaurant or a place you sit down. In this case, it was a coffee shop. And the table
the wobbly table.
The wobbly table.
Yeah.
And he was just obsessed over the wobbly table. And that became like a theme.
Yeah.
The whole episode of he calls Mocha Joe over. He's like, hey, you know, you got a wobbly table. He's like, well, stick your foot on it. He's like, I don't want to stick my foot on it. He's like, well, it's uneven. And he just
reminding me of somebody else we know right now.
Can't deal with the wobbly table. Can't deal with it.
Can't. And remember, and then he goes back to, you know, his girl, was it his wife?
His ex-wife.
Ex-wife. And she's got a wobbly nightstand. And he's like, you know, if we get back together, I'm going to have a new nightstand. This one's wobbly.
Because I would have that fixed immediately.
I would have it fixed immediately.
It's a good show.
It really is. All right. Who wants to start? Anybody have
one? I got one. Okay. And I've been holding on to this for a week.
Okay. Now.
So last week, go to Kansas City for the AFC Championship game. Very excited. You know, I was excited about it because historic Arrowhead Stadium, Titans obviously in it. And so it was a good trip, except for, you know, travel day was a little rough. Got to know the Atlanta airport and then had to drive from St. Louis to Kansas City. That wasn't exactly fun. But luckily I had Jared there to do the show. Didn't need the radio. Had him the entire drive. So that was
rehearsal.
So no, it was fresh material. It was good. But on Sunday, we get over to Arrowhead, have a parking pass. We're right in the middle of the tailgates, which, whatever, that's fine. But the problem is it's cold, very cold, like 12 degrees cold. And got the GM, Floyd Reese, that's like, hey, where do we go in? Where's the media entrance? Jared and I are trying to figure that out. We're looking on our phones and trying to figure out where the media gate is. You know, usually there's signs that say media gate. Can't find any of that. So we're kind of wandering around in a general direction. And I'm walking up to a security person. We are on the grounds of the stadium to ask. They don't even let me get the sentence out before they go, sir, you're going to have to go outside the perimeter with your backpack. I'm like, what? I'm media. Like, what are you talking about? Well, I understand, but you can't walk through here with your backpack. And I'm like, how do I get to the media gate? Well, sir, there are signs, but you're going to have to, I mean, like, would not, was like, you're going to have to go over there. You can't walk through here with your backpack. And I said, well, why don't you tell me, because you don't know how to label anything at your damn stadium, why don't you tell me where the media gate is, and I'll get off your perimeter or whatever you're talking about.
Your lawn. I'll get off your lawn.
Why don't you do your job and direct me where to go? How about that? And then I can get off your lawn. So he points and he goes, well, it'll be that way. Thanks for nothing. So
can you show me the
very
line?
Very helpful.
Yeah, very helpful.
Was there a line that defined the perimeter?
No. I'd be like, what? You want me to walk in the street?
Was it just his area?
Is it an imaginary line? Yeah,
there's all this space, and they have people in, like, corrals. All this space, but I can't walk through there because I'm wearing a backpack.
So there's not a sign that says, this is the perimeter.
Yeah.
Was there a sign that said, had a guy or a stick figure with a backpack?
No. Had
a circle with a line through it that says, no backpacks?
This is what I'm getting to. Arrowhead Stadium, very nice place. You don't label anything. So nobody knows what they're doing unless they've just done it before. So you don't label anything.
So it's not visitor friendly.
No. And so we finally get to a place where it does say media entrance and an arrow, but then there's no sign above a door that says media goes here. What I finally discover is, again, I get yelled at by another security guard because I have the backpack. And at this point I'm like, well, I'm trying to go in the stadium. Is that okay? Can I enter the perimeter with a backpack to enter the stadium? Is that okay with you?
You got to get inside the perimeter.
Right.
To get into the stadium.
I don't care about your perimeter. I'm trying to go in the stadium.
I feel like we're doing a sign photo. I'm trying to get to the perimeter. How do you get to the perimeter?
So finally, and at this point, you know, we got rehearsal going on. Floyd is very upset because he's ready to get inside. I'm trying to figure it out.
It's cold.
The GM asks another security guard, who then says, yes, you go in through this suite entrance. And I'm like, how the hell am I supposed to know that?
Or you just could have said that from the get-go.
Right.
From jump.
There is as I go through the metal detector, there is a teeny tiny little sign that says press enter here. Teeny tiny. So, okay. Arrowhead Stadium in your perimeter.
You and your perimeters.
I feel better.
Willie, do you have one?
I do.
Okay.
An obvious low-hanging fruit would be the person that didn't vote for Derek Jeter in the Hall of Fame. Okay.
Why isn't that person's name been revealed? Why aren't they outed?
I feel like maybe at some point that person will be identified, but here is who's on my list.
I think they were paid off by Mariano Rivera.
Where's TMZ when we need him?
Here's an equal person where you have to ask yourself, is this person really worthy of voting for the Hall of Fame? There was one vote each for the following two players. Now you tell me how you make an argument that these people belong in the Hall of Fame. J.J. Putz and Brad Penny.
In the Hall of Fame.
They each got a Hall of Fame vote.
Well,
okay?
Brad Penny was once married to a very famous actress, so maybe she had a vote. Wasn't he?
No, you're thinking of Carl Pavano, I think.
Oh. Who am I talking about? What was her name? I just drew
Alyssa
a blank.
Milano.
Alyssa Milano.
Yeah.
Thank
she
you.
Was married to Carl Pavano.
Was it Brad Penny?
No.
Did she date Brad Penny?
No, Carl Pavano and Brad Penny were on the Marlins in 2003. And Carl Pavano was married to
wrong Marlins
wrong
pitcher.
Marlin. Wrong Marlin.
Okay.
Carl Pavano, I don't think got any Hall of Fame votes either. But like, if you voted for Brad Penny, are you his brother or his good friend? And J.J. Putz, now maybe I'm a little bitter because he went to the Mets one year and just stunk it out. They paid big money, he got hurt, and he was bad.
P.U.
But honestly, like, aren't you just making a mockery of everything? I know certain people, they get on the ballots because you have a certain amount of service time and you're 5 years removed from the game. You go on the ballot. It doesn't matter if you were great or decent. And those guys were good players. Those are good pitchers. But there's not one shred. Like, you're just making fun. You're just doing it for fun. Just so they got one vote, right? So Brad Penny and J.J. Putz, if you voted for them for the Hall of Fame, not the Marlins Hall of Fame, the Major League Baseball Hall of Fame, was it the same guy? Was there a guy that didn't vote for Jeter that voted for Brad Penny?
I don't know. That's a good question. Maybe that's where the vote went.
I don't know.
I have been told that, Darren, you're thinking about Josh Beckett, not Brad Penny.
Was Alyssa Milano was?
Yeah, I think that's Josh Beckett.
We'll double check. I believe it's Carl Pavano, but I'll check.
Oh.
How many Marlins pitchers did she date? All on the World Series winning one, too. She's a little on a bandwagon, ladies, is what it sounds
pitchers,
like.
Clearly.
She's got a type.
Sounds like the rotation. Never mind. I'm just going to
say that is at Chase on game. That is
Carl
that's Chase.
Too many rotation jokes, but we'll stop.
Wow. Carl Pavano did.
Every fifth day?
What's
it was Carl Pavano, by the way.
There you go.
There you go. Willie was right.
I don't know that they ever got married, but they were together.
Okay. All right. Mine is I'm going to go low-hanging fruit first, and then I need a little advice, okay, on proper protocol. Just low-hanging fruit. Antonio Brown, man. That knucklehead. Put that clown. Yeah, Antonio Brown.
He could be on the Hall of Fame permanent in Sharpie list. Like he just doesn't get off. You can't get off the list.
Like
you
now we don't even talk about him, we just shake our head. You just say Antonio Brown and people just shake their head. The other thing, this happened very, very recent, and I need your all's help. So the setup is it's a restaurant where you go pay at the register when you're done. Okay. And in this case, several registers. And this is a place that, especially on weekends, gets very, very busy. So it's very crowded for people waiting to pay their bill. And that was the case. And so we are standing in one of the lines to pay. And the two ladies in front of us, in front of me, they were talking away. Okay, talk. Clearly, they knew each other. They were there together. They may have been paying separately, what have you. They were talking away as we're all waiting to pay our bills. Well, a lady that works at this place came out. She's now around the counter, and she's out there in the area with all of us. And she's going, there's a spot here. basically trying to direct traffic because it's crowded. There's a spot here. Hello, someone come here, and no one is paying attention. No one, especially the two ladies in front of me that are just talk, not paying a bit of attention. And they are next. Okay, they are next
in line.
They open and they say at the register we are at.
Right.
But the register down, two registers down, is wide open.
I'll take whoever's next in line.
Hello. Yep. Yes, she says it three times.
Right.
No one responds. I noticed this the whole time. And I'm like, well, fine. If nobody's going to go, she said it three times. I look at my wife and my son. I was like, follow me. Let's go. I mean, excuse me. And I go down there and she's like, hey, you know, hello. Thank you. She literally says, well, somebody finally responded. Somebody was paying attention. And so I go to pay. And the lady in front of me that was talk, finally stopped talking and evidently noticed that I went down there to pay. And she came down and said, you know, there was a line.
Oh, no. Okay.
So I need to know, was I in the right or was I in the wrong? Because I looked at her and I was stunned. She's like, there was a line, you know.
Well, you weren't paying attention.
And I said, I know. This lady has been trying to get you or somebody to come down here for the last couple of minutes, but nobody was paying attention. So I came down here, and she just and stormed back to her place in line.
You did not commit any violation.
Was I in the wrong? Because at first I was like offended that she came down and said that. I was like ticked. And then the more I thought about it, I was like, was I in the wrong? Should I have done something differently?
No, I think you were in the right. I mean, she had ample opportunity to make the move. She did not make the move because she wasn't paying attention.
I waited as she, talk. And they're laughing, not paying attention, a bit of attention to what's going on around them. Is it my job?
No.
Sometimes you have to shake up the universe a little bit. She needed a little jolt, almost like a little honk.
But then she got mad. You know, like, boop, boop. She got mad whenever I went down there and I got, you know, I was then ahead of her now because I decided to listen to the lady who's trying to direct people to come down to that open register.
It happens at the airport a lot, at the baggage claim, right? Where you're checking your bags. You got to pay attention. Chop, chop.
Because you are in a line. Yes, but you are in like single file. There were actually different lines because there were multiple registers. And the lady at the end is going, can the next person, someone, come down? Next person, we've got an opening. And no one is responding. No one. Including
the
lady.
Shake up the universe.
The ladies in front of me. And so I've said,
snooze,
okay.
You lose.
She's been asking. No one's responding. I'm going down there.
Pay attention. That's the moral of the story. Okay. It happens at the bank. I think sometimes it happens, or, you know, back when people went to the bank more.
Yeah.
The grocery store, if you still use the checkout line.
Yep. But those are more single file. You know, like you're like actually in a single file line.
There was no clear line.
This one is right. It's kind of people standing around. You pick a line.
What about the movie theater when that happens? They open up a new line.
That's a good example.
There's like six lines.
Yes,
and then, you know.
That's the concession. You're talking about the concession stand? Yeah. Yes. That's a good example. Because
if somebody opens a new line, you just
so
go.
So is it up
Let's
to
go.
You Do you to push the person in front of you to them if they say that? Or are you in the right to go down there when they're like, hey, I'm open down here. Someone come down here.
I'm going to give a second to see if the people are paying attention.
Right.
If they're not paying attention,
I'm not running.
After a few
I'm not
seconds,
trying to beat
I'm
somebody.
Going.
Right. You're not running and pushing them out of
I'm
the way.
I'm going to go. Yeah.
I sat there. I waited.
I'm
going to
give them the chance.
Give them
a few seconds.
You don't respond. I feel like it's open season.
It's like the 3-second rule in basketball. 1,001, 1,002, 1,003. Yeah. You're in the lane too long. If you don't go,
that's a turnover. That's a turnover
open.
On your part.
I'm going to give you a
becomes
second
an open
to go.
Invitation at that
I'm
point.
The ref. I see you in the lane. I'm going to give you a couple seconds. It might not be 3.0 seconds. I might give you 3.5. But if you're not making an effort to get out, I'm giving you the violation. Three seconds.
I feel better we talked this through. I feel better.
We've done a lot of this today.
I know.
A lot of therapy today.
I feel good. All right. We've got loaded lines. We'll come back. We were going to rifle through a ton of phone calls. Who or what is on your list? We do that in 60 seconds next. What's made you mad? And let's make you feel a little bit better. Get it off your chest. 737-1025. 615-737-1025. Let's start with Chad. Chad, who or what is on your list?
Hey, fellas. My big thing is this new phenomenon of the tip on every receipt. I ordered a pizza the other day, and I said, you know, I'm just going to go pick it up. I live a mile from up there. You're not delivering my pizza. I'm coming up there. It's carry out. I'm carrying it out. Now I got to get a tip on it. And so I cross off the tip, and then I get the snub from the guy. I go and have to rent a tool. I rent the tool that I need to finish my project. I get a receipt. It says tip on it. I'm renting a tool. I'm not trying to get – who's the tool here? So, and it's increasingly everywhere I go, all of a sudden now I bought a Christmas tree. Here, put a tip. I'm paying $110 for this Christmas tea. I'm not going to Lowe's and buying it for $39. Now, who am I supposed to tip? So I'm over the tip on the receipt.
Chad, I think that is really good. Very good. Thank you. I agree. We're too tip happy. I don't know where now it's like everything is a tip jar and a tip. Well, if you're going in there and you're providing a service at that store or just at a counter, why do you deserve a tip? You're there to, if you're at an ice cream parlor and someone is putting a scoop of ice cream on a cone and handing it to you and you're paying at the register, why is all of a sudden that is tip worthy?
Let's keep it to the pizza guy. Just for this discussion, because we can go on all day on what you do. But if somebody delivers the pizza,
totally different.
That's totally a tip.
That's one level of tip. If you go pick up the pizza, is it worth a couple of bucks? Just because the person made your pizza? No.
They did their job.
You had to like get
there's
out.
A set, there's a
All
tier
they did
lower,
was make
right?
their product. They made their product, and you got in your car, and you drove there, and you picked it up and paid for it. What did they do other than their job? They made their product for you.
I think people have different philosophies on this. Like, I certainly wouldn't tip as high as if the pizza delivery person, but throwing a buck,
Do you tip the grocery store because they stock the shelves?
No.
Oh, why?
Right.
It's their product. It's there. Do you tip them going, hey, good job, stocking the shelves?
Servers and delivery drivers work on tips. So,
yeah.
I mean, I get that part. Like, there's a delivery fee. That doesn't go to the driver. So, I mean, the tip, you know, that if they deliver it to you, yeah, totally. But if you just go pick it up, I mean, you're doing the work. You're going to pick it up. I mean, they made the pizza, but that's part of the whole paying them in the first place. You have paid for the pizza, and that includes the labor.
I usually throw in a buck.
Really?
A buck or two, yeah.
For what? For making
the pizza.
But that's their job.
Get it to
but the, fee, like, the fee you just paid is paying for
is
that.
It's making the pizza,
that's a part
right?
of
you
it.
Paid for the product. That's part of it. They have to make it. I don't know why you have to pay.
So shoot me. I'm being Jeff.
No, I'm not. I'm just saying. Not mad.
Am I on the list for giving a guy
no,
a tip?
No.
Come on.
I'm just saying.
If
I'm
they
with,
tell me
I'm
it'll
with
be
Chad.
Ready, if
I'm
they
with
say
Chad.
If they say it'll be ready in 15 minutes or 10 minutes, whatever it is, and I show up right at that time and it's ready, I'll throw them a couple bucks.
Okay.
They did the job.
All right. Rob, who or what is on your list?
All right, guys. All the people who are calling for Tom Brady to leave the Patriots. Let Tom Brady retire as a Patriot. Let me tell you why. If he does happen to come to Nashville or Oakland or wherever all the fairy tales are.
Well, Oakland doesn't have a team anymore.
Well, you know what I mean. If he does leave there and Bill Belichick just happens to go 2-14 and gets the first pick in the draft, who does he draft? Trevor Lawrence. And then we're stuck with another 15 years of the Patriots having a great quarterback. So let Tom Brady stay with New England.
So you think if Tom Brady leaves, the Patriots will have the number one pick in the draft. They will just fall off the cliff.
I'm saying that it wouldn't surprise me if they if he leaves and they're having a mediocre season, you don't think Belichick will just start throwing games so he can get the number one pick? Absolutely.
Well, the Colts did end up with Andrew Luck, remember, after the Peyton Manning.
Absolutely.
Stranger things have happened. Not saying that was intentional, but.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, thank you, Rob.
That's an interesting theory. I hadn't thought about that. Of course,
really
Darren,
about that
you
either.
Should be looking into that because you called for the Titans to tank so they could get Trevor Lawrence.
I would love for them to go 1-15 next season.
Really?
Yeah.
After
Trevor
being
Lawrence.
In the AFC Championship.
How else are you going to get Trevor Lawrence?
Hang on. So you would love for them to go to 1-15 next season to get Trevor Lawrence, yet you have also said multiple times that they can't go back, that they have to keep
you
this
have.
Forward
I have.
Progression
They can't
going.
Go back. Yep. They got to take advantage of the opportunity.
So which is it?
Well, you can have Trevor Lawrence Day at Nissan Stadium next year. Like when things aren't going well, you give out like the first 20,000 fans get a Trevor Lawrence shirt. Could do that.
I want to call you something, but I'd probably get in trouble, so I'm just not going to. But yeah, that doesn't work.
Trevor Lawrence could be the 12th man.
That'd be something.
Thought about that.
Is that tampering?
Probably. Let's go to Ricky. Ricky, who or what is on your list?
I have to say the Tennessee fans, and Willie will back me up on this. I'm from New York. I moved here 4 years ago. I hate the New York Yankees because of their fans. I hate the New York Islanders because of their fans. They're the most fair-weather fans in the history of sports. And then you got Tennessee fans calling up complaining, oh, this one jumped on the bandwagon. This one only likes the team for 5 years. I went to a Buffalo Titan game where my entire section was in Buffalo clothes. I'm a New Yorker, and I go to more Titan games than most Titan season ticket holders. So until you guys earn a right to brag about being fans, why don't you guys get a little more humble, support your team, and maybe show up once in a while and go to a game? And I think it's evident with the Predators.
Okay. I like your passion, Ricky. Thank you.
You got it.
So thank you, Ricky. Brian says, just some info, guys. Most of the people in the pizza business are also delivery drivers waiting on the next delivery. Usually the only person that stays in the building is the manager. So, okay, so does that mean we should tip when we pick it up?
I would say, why would you tip the manager? No.
Right, but if it's a delivery, if there's a delivery driver that's made your pizza, because I do know my friend used to work, you know, for a pizza place and would make pizzas, and he was a driver, so... And now that changes things. I don't know.
I don't
exactly
have a problem. I don't have a problem with. I do think though, I have a problem with what Chad is bringing up. I think we're getting a little too crazy with everything now. Is a tip,
right?
I think that's where it's going a little too far with it. I have no issues tipping. I am a generous person when it comes to that. I really am. I don't. You know, they work hard, and especially if you do the job, you're going to get rewarded. But I do think that we're going a little too far with some of this stuff. It's like, where is the line? Like, everything like is directed toward leaving a tip.
You're spot on.
It's like, at some point, we have to have a cutoff, right?
Mm-hmm.
Tony, who or what is on your list?
Gentlemen, let me tell you something. I retired from Metro government back last January. I only worked that 1 month for the year. Last week, that particular office, I won't call them by the name, Register of Deeds, but they ended up mailing me my W-2 last week. In doing so, they sent it registered mail for me to sign for it, but in doing so, they chose not to put postage on the W-2, on it coming to me. So when I go to pick it up at the post office, they tell me I owe right at $6 for postage. Well, I'm not going to pay $6 to receive my W-2 from the office. So I rejected it. I sent it back. I told the postal people in Nolensville, send it back. It has now been almost a week and a half now. It has been a week and a half. And the office has not received my floating W-2 that was being returned to them to pay postage to get it back to me in my hand.
So it's somewhere in the universe. We don't know where.
It's floating in the cloud.
And it's in the cloud somewhere.
Know where it's at. And it's amazing that my son-in-law and daughter-in-law, who lived in Chicago and recently moved back to Nashville, they have already received their W-2s from the companies they work for in Chicago. Chicago, and it was mailed through regular mail. Why this particular office, Register of Deeds, could not send my W-2 in regular mail is beyond me.
That
seems to me this is some of the inefficiency and why we might be $42 million in the hole.
Do you think they were looking for a tip? Did they ask for a tip when you picked it up?
I think somebody's looking for a tip, and I think somebody was out of line and didn't follow the procedure of seeing how it should have been done.
Oh, boy. That's a weird story. Thank you, Tony.
So at this moment, and to top it off, my wife is an accountant. So I think she knows the accounting laws pretty well. And I just hope somebody's not, you know, kind of messing with somebody. Mm. You know what I mean?
Mm.
And but yeah, that's kind of crazy that a W-2 is out there floating around somewhere between Nolensville and Bridgestone Arena.
Oh boy!
Just FYI.
Thank you, Tony. Hope it all works out.
Thank you, guys.
What a crazy story! Why would they send it that way?
No.
Like you said, why don't you just send it through the mail?
They
you
make
expect him to pay for it?
They make
pay for his W-2s?
So
really? That's kind of weak. Doug.
Kind of.
Yeah. Or it is weak. Doug, who or what is on your list?
Fellas, I'm a pretty good guy. I'm a fortunate man, blessed man to have some good in-laws, healthy, drive around, do anything they want to do. But my mother-in-law's one-year-old car last night, someone had the gall to take the rear tire off of her brand-new car, leave it on a block, and took her tire. Nice neighborhood, nice people. They keep a light on, like a floodlight on the house the whole time. So the perpetrators that took that tire, and now they have to order a new tire, and will, probably 3 days, 4 days out from the dealership. The people or person who are responsible for this, you've made the list.
Is this in the driveway?
In the driveway. We're talking 20 yards from the main street.
Oh, my goodness.
The people like that.
And I am not going to give a tip of where this neighborhood is because I'm going to probably do some riding around myself. So we're speaking of the situation of tips. I'm not leaving a tip because I take it that everybody listens to 102.5 The Zone. And if they're listening, I'm looking.
All right, Doug. I hope you find your tire. It's a strange thing to say to somebody. Hope you find your tire, or at least the perpetrator. Let's get one more in. Donnie, who or what is on your list?
The guy that called about Tom Brady coming to Nashville and Belichick losing the game to get Trevor Lawrence. Look, do your homework. Since 1992, there's only been two people. I take it back. Since 1990, there's only been two people, number one draft picks, to win a Super Bowl. They are the Manning brothers. And if you want to go back 48 years, there's only been four number one picks, Troy Aikman, John Elway, and the Manning brothers. So automatically, if you get a number one pick, doesn't mean you're going to be an elite team forever. Thank you.
All right. Look at that. Donnie bringing some stats. By the way, he's right. Interesting. All right, we will come back. Close out. We're going to need to get a winner during the break. We'll come back. We'll check in with Pete Weber in St. Louis around the NHL All-Star Game. We do that to close out hour number three. That's next. Back here on Darren Donick and Chase on this Friday afternoon. Hope everybody's having a good day. We head to St. Louis. We're seven-time Tennessee Sportscaster of the Year. Pete Weber is standing by. He is our on-site reporter for the All-Star Game. Pete, how you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm sitting in front of the fire here at the Hilton in downtown St. Louis and getting some incredible stories from Terry Crisp and his former teammate Bob Plager, talking about the good old days and some road trips that you would never believe.
Terry telling stories. A fireside chat with Terry Crisp. People would pay
and
a lot of money for that.
Yep. Yes, they would.
Well, and Pete, as you know, maybe you can help with this for people that have not met Bobby Plager, who might know Crispy. You put those two guys together. It's unbelievable.
Wind them up and let them go?
Because Bobby Plager would be the St. Louis.
Fly.
Would you call him maybe the St. Louis version of Terry Crisp, right? Just the
absolutely.
I mean, tremendous storyteller. He will have you just howling. And of course, the two intersect as they were teammates one time.
And they're talking about the Game 7 of the playoff series the first year with the Blues and the Philadelphia Flyers, which really helped to launch the Broad Street Bullies, because Flyers founding owner Ed Snyder said, we're never going to get beat up like that again. So they got armed and very dangerous in Philadelphia. But these guys were the ones who precipitated all of that.
Tell us what the mood is like in that market, considering their season didn't end till the middle of June, and what they accomplished. And this is just kind of carryover for them. Man, it's been quite a year, right? I know we started 2020, but 2019 was quite a ride for the city of St. Louis.
Yeah, and really, while they've been awarded the cup and all that, the ride has not stopped. They are still playing extraordinarily well. Craig Berube, who took over in November a year ago, has them still playing extraordinarily well. Jordan Binnington has not, if he was to have been expected to fall back to earth, has not fallen back to earth. He is still working at the apogee of his abilities.
No doubt about it. No cup hangover for the Blues, at least to this point. Number one team in the Western Conference.
That's right.
So we were trying to figure out what is the activity. We've got the coverage on. We saw Shea Weber talk to the media. We saw Roman Josi talk to the media. Yep. We know Shea Weber's going to be in the hardest shot. Which activity is the captain going to be in? We're trying to figure
I'm
that
not
out.
Certain yet. They're still trying to ascertain that, because they really jazzed up the skills competition tonight. They're going to have shots coming out of the audience onto the ice.
Really?
That's just among the things that we're looking forward to here this evening. And then there's a number of youngsters who represent the various NHL clubs coming in, and they will be taking part in a competition as well. And there's even great players like Gary Unger here in the lobby right now, willing to talk with us. So this has just been like hockey heaven.
We know in Nashville, Pete, when it came to our fine city, that it was unveiling the new system, and it got glowing reviews and thumbs up, and it looked better. Do you still like the All-Star setup?
Yes, I do. I think that's the best way to do it right now. I think it's the closest thing that we have to baseball's All-Star game, which is still something very special, at least in my mind. And the Home Run Derby is no small part of all of that. But I'll tell you what was special last night. Do you realize some Jack Adams Awards ballots are already going in to nominate Terry Crisp as Coach of the Year for what he did last night in the alumni game?
Well, you have to tell us, Pete. What did he do?
He coached a winning side. They won 10-6 in that game last night. Now, there was one great reason he's going to be Coach of the Year. He got an 80-year-old player to score a goal. He got Red Berenson to score a goal last night. Now, Red is the guy who had that 6-goal game against Philadelphia. And if you listen to any of the replays, Ed Van Impe is the GOAT on most of them. Because Ed Van Impe, who, you know, all of us remember, he had played part of his career here with St. Louis, but then he's in Philadelphia. And you'll hear the call from the great Dan Kelly. And for virtually each of the 6 goals, around Van Impe. And he moves in, he shoots and scores. So that was absolutely hilarious.
What was the other key coaching move besides getting Red Berenson to play at his best? Any other key moves that were highlights?
Yeah, he put Gary Unger on the same line with Red Berenson. Curious move. Those guys were traded for each other here years ago, and they played together on the Blues for a little bit when Red came back.
Did he walk on the bench?
He did not walk the boards, last night. I think Bob Plager told him not to try to walk on the boards.
Pete, you know what's interesting about the format of this that we saw for the first time?
Excuse me, Bobby said they couldn't do that because they didn't have the insurance.
You do. These are things you have to think about for sure. Pete, what are the things that is compelling about the format that we saw unveiled in Nashville with this 3-on-3 and it's every division playing, is you have some pretty big rivals playing on the same team for the weekend. Yes. I remember Patrick Kane got booed by all the Nashville fans. And there was
he still talks to me about that.
And there was a lot of talk here recently, and I'm trying to think of the two teams, but the the Battle of Alberta, right? The Oilers and the Flames, where the question was asked, hey, you know, if you're on the same line with Tkachuk, what would you do?
So, skate off the ice. That was Dreisaitl who said that, yeah.
Right. So I wonder how that works sometimes when these guys all get together. I guess they put it all aside.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they do. That's not like in the old days in baseball. You know, there was no way Bob Gibson would have been able to do that.
Yeah, that's
for sure. No way whatsoever.
But it looks like this, the three-on-three, for, you know, with all the things they've tried, it does look like it's going to stick. You know, I don't hear anything otherwise. Do you?
I think it's going to stick, at least for now. I mean, we had, you know, North America versus the world for a while. We had just East versus West. Way back, my first memory is the Stanley Cup champion against the All-Stars for the rest of the league. And that's when, and it started the year. That was before you had played a regular season game.
Wow, that'd be something to go back to that.
Would it ever. Be a little bit more difficult, though, when you have a Stanley Cup champion and beginning next year, 31 other teams.
Right.
You'd have to have tiered benches like the Stampede Corral in Calgary.
Talking to Pete Weber, the voice of the Predators, he's in St. Louis, and I know things are fun there because we actually flew through there last week on the way to Kansas City. Had to drive from St. Louis to Kansas City, and they had all the stuff up. Yeah, the weather did not to cooperate with us. But I saw all the stuff that they have hanging up there, and so I know the city is enjoying it. But how about next year, the Florida Panthers being the host of the All-Star Game?
Yeah, now we were at one there before. As a matter of fact, that's where I first saw Sheryl Crow perform in person. It was on a stage outside the building in Sunrise. I think that was 2003, and the game was dominated by Danny Heatley, and that was the first time they had a shootout to decide a game. And Danny Heatley got the winner in the shootout.
Yeah, I think I remember that. I know we had you on to talk All-Star, but I can't let you get out of here without asking you about the Baseball Hall of Fame. What'd you think about the announcement this week?
I'm so ecstatic about Larry Walker going in, and I know a good friend of mine at home who was now recuperating from rotator cuff surgery, John Keane from Ajax Turner, huge baseball fan. He is exulting in that news as well.
Pete, you actually told a story, too, about your connection with Felipe Alou. And when you first learned who Larry Walker was.
Yeah, Larry Walker had a year out, 1985. He was recuperating from knee surgery, very serious and intricate knee surgery. And there was a guy at Busch Stadium, Indianapolis, hitting off a tee. And I got to say, his swing pretty much impressed me, not that I'm a great baseball scout. So I go to Felipe Alou, who was managing the Indianapolis Indians at the time. I said, who's that guy? I said, we're not going to see him in the game or anything. He goes, no, he's out for about a year. He's just here rehabbing. He goes, his name is Larry Walker. I think he's going to be pretty good. Felipe Alou was not only an outstanding manager, but a great judge of talent and had been a scout for a long time for the Expos.
And, of course, that 1994 Expos team, which is considered the team that was the best Expos team ever that got shortchanged of having a chance to play in the postseason, one of the worst parts about the strike.
Yep.
He was the manager, and Larry Walker was just becoming a star.
Yep, and he had his son Moises on that team, too. And now another one of his sons just being named manager of the Mets.
Yeah.
How about that?
Very, very cool. Are you going to investigate in your baseball circles to figure out who didn't vote for Jeter?
I will do everything I can. Now, I have to grant you, and some other of my friends have posted as well, hey, Willie Mays was far from being unanimous, so there are a lot of idiots in this world.
It's true. See, I think Mariano Rivera paid somebody off so he could still be the only one and hold that over his teammate.
I think it was the composer of Enter Sandman who did that.
It does make you wonder, though, like the Mickey Mantle and Joe DiMaggio. Pick out the best of the best. Yeah. And none of those guys were unanimous?
No.
So what was going on?
Yeah, exactly. Thank you, Willie.
Well, it was just a mindset. It's the whole first ballot thing.
Yeah, thank God we didn't have a voting college there, the Electoral College, messing things up.
The whole thing about first ballot just – I don't understand what's the whole, some guy, you know, some voters, like, you know, nobody should be in for, what is the whole hang up on that? If you're a Hall of Famer, you're a Hall of Famer. That's.
Yeah, exactly. So if you wait one more year, does that make you less of a Hall of Famer?
Right, exactly.
Does that make the electorate stupid?
Yeah. You know what we learned on the show so far today? We learned that Alyssa Milano liked former Florida Marlins pitchers. That's what we've learned today on the show.
No, pitcher. So. Yeah. Pitcher.
Well, but we think there may
no,
be.
No, no, that's incorrect.
Well, are you sure, Beck?
Former hockey player more than that. It was Wayne McMahon who was here for the alumni game.
How was that, by the way?
We only have documentation on one Florida Marlins pitcher, Carl Pavano. Speaking of the Expos.
Yeah. Yeah. But that is absolutely true. And the alumni game last night is too bad it wasn't totally televised. They didn't have the coaches mic'd up because that would have been fantastic.
Oh, man, that would have been. Pete, enjoy St. Louis this weekend. Looks like it's going to be a lot of fun, and we'll see you when you get back.
It already has been, and looking forward to Monday night with the Leafs in town. We know that's a special traveling road show, too.
No doubt about it. Pete Weber, the voice of the Predators, and, of course, him and Hal Gill. You can hear that all the games, them in the booth, right here on 102.5 The Game. We will come back and kick off the final hour with Pick 6. Yes, we decided on air there'll be Pick 6. That's coming up next. I'm glad we've talked a lot of things through today as I get choked up. I feel better. I've gotten a lot of feedback from you just made the list. And so far, it seems unanimous that I was in the right. I wasn't sure. I needed help. I wanted to make sure that I was in the right, that I didn't do something wrong. And so far, everybody's saying, you know, hey, lady.
You mean try to end the contest?
Like, hey, lady, pay attention.
You mean trying to end the contest? Is that what we're talking about?
No, I'm talking about what I brought up and you just made the list.
Oh, right. You just made the list.
Yeah,
okay.
But standing in line.
I was going back to our pick six.
Stand in the line. The whole
standing in line.
You're not paying attention.
Oh, yeah.
Then, you know, you snooze, you lose.
Yeah. Now, there are some tweets.
We want efficiency here.
There were some tweets, Greg Anderson, tell Karen to go to the back of the line and learn to listen.
It's a good gif on there, too.
Yeah. Very good.
Mm-hmm.
Her problem, not yours. Pay attention. She made my list for making your list. That's from JD.
Yeah.
So, you are not in the wrong at all. You gave her ample opportunity, and she didn't do it.
She came over, and she was pretty nasty about it.
Yeah, well.
And there's a line here. There's a reason we're in line.
Yeah, you should probably go get back in it because you weren't paying attention.
Like, yeah, I know. I've been standing behind you, listening to you yap for 5 minutes. I waited for you. Sorry.
I waited for you, and you didn't show.
I was looking at the lady. I'm looking at the lady. The lady's looking at me. She's like, is this the lady who's asking somebody to come down? And I'm looking at her, and I'm going, and she's looking at me like, come on. And I'm like, well, I'm going to try to give these other people a chance, somebody to jump, and nope, nobody want to do it. It's all right. Fine. I'll do it. All right. It is pick six time here on Darren, Donnick, and Chase. This week, our pick six prize, a pair of tickets to see Bob Weir, Wolf Brothers at the Ryman Auditorium. That'll be on Saturday, March 7th. Saturday, March 7th at the Ryman.
Show at the Ryman.
Yep. That's what's going to this week's winner. So before we get into this week, let's review last week.
Got a little dicey here this past week. We may or may not have a changing of the guard. But we'll start off with Darren, the leader for most of the season. We took the Titans against the spread. Now, if the game ended at halftime, we'd have a winner. Mm-hmm. But that was not the case. Patrick Mahomes did Patrick Mahomes things. The Chiefs won by 11. So he does not win that one. He did not. He picked B for, I think that was Derrick Henry rushing yards.
Yeah, it was over or under.
Well, it was over or under. I did over.
Derrick Henry finished with 69 rushing yards.
Not even close.
So didn't get that one right either. Ryan Tannehill, you took the A, which I believe was the over 150 passing yards.
I think it was 175.
75. Man, he hit the over on that one. So you did get that one right. The Titans did attempt a field goal, and they made it.
Mm-hmm.
So you got that one right, too.
Mm-hmm.
And then B for the next one.
Patrick Mahomes.
That was
Patrick Mahomes. My top shelf. 300 to 399. And he sat at 294 for most of the fourth quarter.
And he finished with 294. And then you took the Packers. And as we know, that game was over by halftime.
Whoops. Not even close.
Niners covered that one pretty easily.
Not
so Darren's
even close,
ends
bud.
This week, or ends last week, rather, with 86.
That's another week.
And now we'll move on to Willie. Willie.
William,
please do.
Willie is excited for this. He's been waiting weeks to hear this. He took the Titans, as we know. Didn't turn out very well. Took B for Derrick Henry. Took B for Ryan Tannehill.
Ding.
Ding. Ding. And then, yes, top shelf for the field goal attempt.
Double ding.
Ding, ding.
Double ding.
And then double doink. Double ding.
Double ding. And then he took the A for Patrick Mahomes' passing yards, which was worth 2 points if he got the under. So that's two extra points.
Yes, it was. Yes, Willie. It was, wasn't it?
And
yes,
then
it was.
Willie also picked the 49ers, which brings his grand total to 87. So
Bingo.
We now have breaking news. We have a new leader in pick six, and that is one, Wiley Dinuk.
Bingo.
87 to what?
86. Mm. We have a 1 point game. And now Chase for this week.
So what did you end up getting? Seven? Is that right?
Six.
Six.
Yeah.
It was to add on to his 81.
I hit two doubles.
He picked six.
Hit two up the gap.
He did, and he nailed it. And now we have a new leader going into the last 2 weeks.
You shouldn't have turned your mic on for that.
Oh, no. We're going through the final four.
There's somebody that used to tell me that a lot.
We're going through the final four.
And then Chase, kind of bringing up the rear here, started with 79 going into last week. He took the Titans, and he took the Titans top shelf. That did not work out well. He took A, like the under for Derrick Henry, which happened. He was the only one to get that one. Took the A, the under on Ryan Tannehill passing yards. Didn't work out as well. The yes on the Titans attempting a field goal. So we all got that one. Then took the B on Patrick Mahomes passing yards. Which, like Darren mentioned earlier, close, but no cigar. Only counts in horseshoes and hand grenades.
True.
And then 49ers, Packers, he did take the 49ers. So two of the three of you guys did take the 49ers, and that brings Chase's grand total to 82. So now he's only four behind Darren, five behind Willie, and that was last week's recap.
I need two good weeks if we're ending this.
We're not ending it.
We're not ending it.
We have made that decision. We're going all the way
through next week, and then you're going to do it the rest of the way. So.
No,
you have
passed the baton to me. I will do it from here on out.
I've told you I was committed to the Super Bowl, and then we're done.
I don't believe that came up. I thought you were giving the reins.
No. Walter,
the wheel.
Be the
I believe
fight,
it was
fight, back, fight, fight.
Backseat driver, I think was the term used.
Yeah.
Why don't you come up and drive? Well, you gave me the wheel, so I have the
because
wheel.
Because that is an extra over 2 months. So that's on you after the Super Bowl. You can do
it.
Okay.
I'm excited to do it.
Great.
100%.
Great.
I don't know why you get to do the
and
Super
I'm
Bowl.
Fantastic.
But you're excited.
I don't understand that, but okay. Fine. Fine.
Okay. What do you got?
Number one.
Okay. We're going to start straight up. SEC Big 12 Challenge. Tennessee at Kansas. Kansas has the two players suspended that were in the brawl. Tennessee is a 12.5-point dog.
A 12.5-point dog?
Yep. They are a 12.5-point dog. The game is at Fog Allen Fieldhouse.
With the two players out, a 12.5-point dog.
Those guys aren't starters.
I'll take Tennessee top shelf.
All right. Good luck.
That's so easy.
Okay.
Tennessee top shelf. Wow. Thank you for the 2 points.
Okay.
I will take Tennessee. I'll go Tennessee.
Right. I'll take Kansas.
Okay. There you go.
Have you seen the record of teams that go into Fog Allen Fieldhouse, by the way?
There's a 3-point swing.
Have you seen the record of teams that go into Fog Allen? I'm just throwing that out there. You think I just made that number up? Because
I don't know. I'm fully aware of.
Okay.
Holy moly.
Okay. We'll see. Maybe you guys are right. I'll take Kansas. Kentucky at Texas Tech. Texas Tech, very different look from last year, but still a pretty good team. Texas Tech is favored by 2.5.
Darren?
Say it again.
Texas Tech, favored by 2.5, hosting Kentucky.
I haven't watched one second of Texas
Tech. They're 12-6, 3-3 in the league.
I'll take Kentucky.
You'll take Kentucky. Chase?
I'll take Texas Tech.
I will take Kentucky. Belmont visits Austin Peay. Austin Peay undefeated in the OVC. Belmont is coming off a loss at Murray State. Both like to shoot the three. Both are very good at it. Over or under 17.5 threes made in the game. Belmont averages 10.5 threes made. Austin Peay averages just over 7 threes made per game. Over or under 17.5 threes combined by the two teams.
Austin Peay last night with two players hit 12 between the two players. Just for a little bit of frame of reference there.
They can shoot it. And Belmont has a plethora of shooters. Yeah.
Chase, go.
I'll take the over.
You take the over?
I'll take the under.
I'll take the over. Number four, the Pro Bowl in O-Town, Orlando, where I have lost a field goal kicking contest. I missed a kick that could have sent me to Super Bowl 18 in Tampa. I could have seen Marcus Allen run all over the Redskins, but I missed from 25 yards. Still stings to this day. Kind of like the guy in the Jim Carrey movie. You know, the guy that misses the kick, laces out.
Laces out, that's me.
That was my laces out move.
Okay.
Derrick Henry, does he score a touchdown in the Pro Bowl? Yes or no?
I'll say yes, top shelf.
Ooh.
Yes, top shelf. I wonder how many carries the guy will get.
I'll go yes.
All right, I'll be fun and take no. Like, are they allowed to run the ball in the Pro Bowl?
We're about to find out. Well, you just said score a touchdown. It doesn't.
Score a touchdown. Yeah, you could catch a touchdown. Yeah. Fumble recovery.
Mm-hmm.
All right, the NHL skills competition. You get two options here. If they both don't happen, then nobody gets a point. If they both happen, everybody gets a point. But you choose which one you think has the better chance of happening. Shea Weber wins the hardest shot competition, or Roman Josi scores a goal in the 3-on-3 tournament.
You take in the actual All-Star game.
Yeah.
In the 3-on-3 tournament. Yeah, the actual All-Star game on Sunday.
So if both happens,
then everybody gets a point. You could make it top shelf.
And if neither happens, nobody gets a point.
Yeah. So you choose what you think is the better option for you.
Is there a C, all the above?
No.
I'll go Shea.
You'll take Shea wins the hardest shot competition, which he has done almost every time. He's done it every time that Zdeno Chara has not been in it.
Yeah. I'm going with the captain.
You'll take the captain scoring a goal.
I just said the captain. I mean, they're both captains.
see what you did there. Smart.
Josi.
You'll take Jos. All right. I'm going to take Shea Weber. I'll take Shea Weber wins the hardest shot competition.
Give it to Shea. Give it to Shea. Get out of the way.
Predators, Maple Leafs on Monday night. What combination of players will have the most points in the game? And, of course, points, goals plus assists, okay? And if it ends up being a tie, then, like, if they all get zero, then everybody theoretically would get a point, right, if that happens. Or if two teams get one, et cetera, okay? Here are your choices. You take the best shot that you have. Roman Josi and Ryan Johansson is Group A. B, Matt Duchene and Victor Arvidsson. C, you get three Swedes, Philip Forsberg, Kalle Järnkrok, Mattias Ekholm. And fourth, answer D, Mitch Marner and John Tavares.
Conveniently left out Matthews.
Well, because he's injured.
Yeah, but
he's probably going to play, but I can't take the chance that all of a sudden he shows up and he's not playing. I think he's going to play, but I avoided him for that reason.
And so what if two of the four get the same amount of high points?
Then those two, whoever chooses those two, gets a point.
All right, you go first.
All right, I will take Forsberg, Järnkrok, and Ekholm. I'll take the three Swedes.
That's what I was going to take, so I'll take the three Swedes. That's what I was going to do. I don't want to change it just because. No.
That's what I was thinking, but you know what? I'll change it up. I'll take the Yossi group.
You'll take Yossi and Johansson.
The All A. Right.
That's group A. It'd be interesting to see how many people take the Leafs because those guys score a lot of points. Those guys get a lot of points. All right, those are your six.
What was your top shelf, Willie?
My top shelf will be Weber wins the hardest shot.
Okay, now a chance for you to get in there. A segment of phone calls. Two top shelves if you get locked in via the phone. 615-737-1025. That's how it works. 615-737-1025. I want to talk to all the men out there. I've been telling you for years about my friends over at Cool Springs MD, and they know a lot of you have started to seek help for hormone deficiencies and imbalances. And Dr. Jeffrey Lodge, who is the board-certified physician, his wife Daphne Lodge, who is the registered nurse, and their experienced staff, they want to help you men out there, and they already have here in the Middle Tennessee and surrounding areas, with improving your immune systems, your energy levels, your cognitive function, and so much more. They're there to connect you with the medical care you require to have a healthy and enriched life. There's no better time to achieve that healthy lifestyle than right now. What are you waiting for? Pick up the phone, dial the number like I have, make that appointment, and get in there and see the good folks at Cool Springs MD. That number is 615-283-7291. That's 283-7291. Or you can always go to their website, coolspringsmd.com.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.